Welcome to the December 29th, although this episode will be released on December 30th, so I guess the December 30th version of the Zooch and Wild podcast. Zooch, how was your Christmas?
It was good. It went by really quickly because you're always busy. I have to go to my fiance's house, parents' house and my parents' house, so you stay pretty busy, and by the end of it, you're kind of tired, honestly. You're just like, you hit the bed on the night of Christmas, and you're like, all right, I'm sleepy. Went and saw the Iron Claw Christmas night.
Iron Claw, right on. Little A25.
Pretty depressing.
Yeah.
I knew the story was going in. But
so I also
Beyonce was crying.
Is it still depressing even if you know exactly what's going to happen?
I'll put it this way. It's so depressing that they didn't even include all of the depressing stuff. They completely removed one of the sons who died from the movie. They put like bits of his story into another son because the director was flat out like, yeah, if I had him in the movie too, I don't think they would have made the movie. It was that
Man,
bad.
Yeah, because I saw the Dark Side of the Ring on the Von Erichs, and I was like, and that included everything. So yeah, for anyone who watched Iron Claw, it's a great movie. If you want to learn more of the story, Vice, Dark Side of the Ring, and I think it's called like The Last Von Erich, and it's the one guy.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. It's a spoiler, but it's not a spoiler because it's real life. That the one brother that's still alive, like they like interview him and like talk to him about his life and stuff. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is insane.
Well, let's get to something not as depressing and something awesome, and that's bowl season, man. It has been in full swing. I'm loving it. The Pop-Tart mascot, Butch Jones screaming, "You blew it," right in the ref's face. San Jose State with the dud of the century in the Hawaii Bowl. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, I love bowl season. For anyone who says there's too many bowls, get a life. That's what I say.
Yeah, no, I like both. It is a little weirder now with, like, you'll just get, like, an update from Bruce Feldman that he's like, yep, 93 players on FSU have decided not to play in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't expect that one.
Bowl season's awesome now because it really is, like, the third string guy. Like, the Alex Moran of every team. Like, oh, man, this is great. I get to play D1 football. And it's like, nope, you're playing a 5 p.m. game on ABC, bud. Like, enjoy everyone looking at you. It's awesome. Side note, we're gonna bring this up. People have been talking about it. And by people, I mean me. You know, on this show, we are the first to admit when we're wrong. And we are also the first to admit we are right. Now, I'm going to play a clip from last week. And guys, just listen and just see how it may pertain to a certain bowl game and a certain player. USC. This is a prove it game. If they beat USC, then they could be like, man, we had a solid year. Maybe we a couple of hits here or there and we could have gone to a New Year's Six. And a loss here is like, nah, you guys were flukes the whole year. Like that Notre Dame win you were riding on the whole time. And if you're USC, you got two young quarterbacks who
you
got a chance to test out now.
Not two anymore.
Just sitting out. There's going to be a lot of guys sitting out. You had a top recruiting class. Now you can play freshmen and not burn their red shirt. So you can choose to play a lot of young guys and see what they're about. We both talked about this. For USC to be successful, they need an upper class quarterback from Southern California.
Yes.
That is the only way that USC succeeds. It's tried and true. Matt Leinart, Sam Darnold. You can even go UCLA. Josh Rosen went to St. John Bosco. If you are a Los Angeles school, just only recruit upper-class kids from the LA and Orange County area. And they have one. They have this kid named Miller Moss from Mission Viejo. He fits the bill, baby, and he's a beast. He was like a 4 or 5 star coming out. I think he's like a sophomore or a junior. And they also have this – all right, I'm going to cut it off there because I also say they have Malachi Nelson, who, as we all know, has entered the transfer portal. And hello, Jess. But look at that. Hey, it's Christmas time. There we go. But, Malachi Nelson, he left. But, yeah, I was – 100% right on Miller Moss. Also, we got one fact wrong about Miller Moss. He's not from Mission Viejo. He's from Mission Hills. Still in the LA area. Still went to like a private school. Miller Moss. But yeah, Miller Moss toasted Louisville. And I think people, the only people who are more happy than USC fans that are going, man, do we even need to get into the transfer portal to find a quarterback, is ACC haters who were preying on FSU's downfall. That, man, a bum Kayla Williams-less USC just beat the second place ACC team.
Destroyed. He had what, six touchdown passes?
Six touchdowns.
Five or six touchdowns.
He has the same amount of touchdowns in a game record as Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, system quarterback, some are saying. Not me.
He's probably going to be really, really good in the NFL. It was hilarious. Like, we were like talking about it. I don't remember what brought it up. I think we were just like, for some reason, looking at their roster, and he just, his picture.
Yep.
One of my friends texted me, like, the picture of him was like, he looks like a creative player. Like, come on. He's from Mission Beach, California. Like, plays everything about him just screams like USC. And I hope he starts here. I hope.
I also hope he starts there.
That's what makes USC USC is people like him.
He has to. He has to. And it's also funny because I went to talk about Malachi Nelson and now he's transferred. So, I mean, if you're USC, I feel like, don't get greedy if you're USC. I do think Miller Moss is the guy. At least run it with him for a year. You know?
And yeah, USC he's not did, great. Go somewhere else. But the man just threw six touchdown passes and hadn't played since 2019.
Yeah, and it's not like the guy's a bum either. He was a four-star coming out of high school. It's not like this is some walk-on, like, fun story. Like, he was supposed to be the guy, and then they went and they got – what's his face? Malachi Nelson last year, and then people were like, whoa. Like, Miller Moss was always supposed to be the succession plan for Caleb Williams. But, yeah, right. I was right, you know. I had a couple wrong quarterback takes this year, but it feels good to get one, man. It feels good to get one, but bowl season, that's why I love it.
They would say.
Yes. This is why I love bowl season though, is because you have storylines like Miller Moss. You have these storylines of like fans can get excited and you could warp your mind into getting way too hyped up for last year. Like, I bet USC fans are in a frenzy right now.
Speaking of funny bowl game storylines, that Texas State game, Texas State Rice, it was on the television at work, and it was, like, raining or whatever was going on. I had no clue because I couldn't hear the volume that their headsets weren't working. So, for some reason, in my mind, I thought that Texas State just coached without headsets. I was like, oh, like, I guess their coach is, like, doesn't wear a headset.
Oh my goodness.
I started looking through Twitter, and someone had said, like, all the headsets are down. So, that is what makes bowl games great. Texas State versus Rice, no headsets, like pure chaos. Sad ending for JT Daniels from
They just showed the image of him on the sideline, and like he just looks so sad and wet because of the rain. And it shows all of his schools he's been to. It showed all of his school.
Yeah, it's crazy. From at USC, if you said a dude was going to be a starter at USC in Georgia during his four-year career, also play at Rice, he would be like, oh, okay, well, like, maybe he was, like, walked on to Rice and was really good, and they fired their coach or whatever, and then he ended up walking on, or even if he had a scholarship to Rice, they fired their coach, he walks on to USC or Georgia, gets hurt. Like, that would be believable, but it went backwards. It went starter at USC, starter at Georgia. West Virginia was where he went after that, right? Starter at West Virginia.
Yeah.
And then starter at Rice to holding the clipboard. It was, I think he's going into coaching now. But
smart move for JT. You know, I was on the JT train for a while. I've said it before. It's sad. Number one high school player in the country. And then he reclassed. I think he went too early. But hopefully JT does well in coaching and we don't get any of those more brutal sideline picks. Last thing I want to touch on about bowl season is how about them Sooners? Just happened recently. The Alamo Bowl. Oh, and you said it best right before the show. Oklahoma, they just can't help themselves in bowl games. It's like it's a necessity to just give up points, no matter.
Every year. They do it every single year. I mean, let's see this.
Brent Venables, I mean, you were just hoping that if you're Oklahoma, you would have won this. and, you know, not stressed out going into SEC play. But Sooner Nation is stressed. Sooner Nation is stressed.
Here, I mean, here's their last few bowl games. 38, 35, 32, 20, 63, 45, 54, 19, 37, 40.
Besides the 19, they've given up. Oh, that's so fun. Oh, I love bowl season. The Alamo Bowl. Now, the Alamo Bowl is great. It did live up to the hype, I think. But we got the big ones coming this weekend. And it's finally here. College football playoffs finally here. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I am also excited because they didn't put it on stinking New Year's Eve this year. Because it's on that Monday. So no one has to stress. No one has to stress about, like, I remember last year I was like watching it like in a TV on a bar for part of the time, like kind of in and out on the last game. And I was watching on my phone for part of it. Although we won't get a chance to recreate the missed Ohio State kick at the ball drop, and then all the confetti comes down like last year.
I forgot about that. That was absolutely, I cannot believe that happened. That was the playoffs should have ended just on that.
That was the greatest video ever.
I was watching that in a hotel room and like just dying laughing. I'm like, they just like someone had it on their phone. You just hear 5, 4, 3,
2.
He misses it. The confetti drops.
The confetti drops. Oh my gosh, it is glorious. But yeah, like you said, a lot of storylines coming in. There's a couple teams that are trying to start something, a couple teams that are trying to avenge bad years in the past, and one team in particular that's probably trying to solidify themselves. If not, he's already solidified himself as the greatest dynasty, greatest era, greatest coach of all time. And that's the Alabama Crimson Tide, Nick Saban, and the first game. Michigan, Alabama. How about it? Rose Bowl. I looked up today the get in price for this game in the Rose Bowl. Michigan, Alabama is like $300. This is the hype game. It's going to be awesome. What I do love about a classic boomer joke about the Rose Bowl is going, oh, all the people from the Midwest, they come to California and they go, oh man, I can wear short sleeves for the first time. Oh, this is great. It's like, man, it's so sunny. It's like, yeah, we have these things called like smartphones. Like they know like it's sunny in California. Like it isn't 1960s anymore. Like they could, like they know.
They know what the weather. I think the funniest, and I heard it the other day, Bill Burr was talking about it and he's talking about like bankers, and he goes, just imagine the bankers who live in the hills above the Rose Bowl. When that game kicks off, they're sitting there with their son ringing in the new year, and they look at their son and say, look at all those people down there, those thousands of people. They all owe me money.
That is true. That's a good one. In the hills. Oh my gosh.
But
that is funny.
Game is going to be – it's already funny because I read today that Nick Saban isn't allowing his players to watch film on their own iPads.
I did see that, yes.
Michigan might have hacked them. You had CBS release J.J. McCarthy post
so
Connor Stallions firing. Did you see that?
So that's what I was going to bring up. Yeah, so that was – as we get into the actual game, I think it's J.J. McCarthy is it. The Michigan's fate – rides on J.J. McCarthy. If J.J. McCarthy can play how he played pre-end of – like if it's beginning of the season, J.J. McCarthy, Michigan's probably going to win. If it's a J.J. McCarthy that's shown up the last couple weeks, Michigan's going to lose, I think. And it's funny that you said that because I have the stats right here. So pre-Connor Stallions getting fired, 8 games, completion percentage at 78, passing yards per game, 225, touchdown to interception ratio 18-3. Pretty solid, right? In 8 games. So 5 games after, completion percentage at 68. I'm not too mad about, like, that's fine. Here's where it gets brutal. Passing yards per game 166. Touchdowns interception 1-1. Now,
he has one touchdown in the last 5 games.
That's the stat I read, man. I mean, you have to think Penn State, they didn't throw the ball after half. Ohio State didn't throw the ball after half. Iowa State was a lot of rushing touchdowns. Iowa was a lot of rushing touchdowns. I mean, I don't want to play devil's advocate here. He did play tougher teams, right? Maybe that's why his stats are down. But to play devil's advocate to devil's advocate, Alabama's a tough team. So, like,
yeah,
like this has J.J. McCarthy needs to step up for Michigan. And if you're Alabama, I think you just play loose like you have, kind of like that house money feeling. And you kind of just go, hey, maybe this is supposed to be a rebuilding year for us, or an Alabama rebuild year. No one thought we were going to be here, which is crazy to think for Alabama. But I think you just play loose and just accept that, yeah, maybe there's going to be a couple chunk runs by Michigan. But if you're Alabama, I think you just play with the mindset, just like, wait for Michigan to F up. Because, hey, because Michigan's a school, it's kind of like the Buffalo Bills in pro. When things seem to start going wrong, buttholes go from this, and they get tight. And I feel like Harbaugh, because I'm a Niner fan. I watched this with Harbaugh teams. When it got close, this is when Pete Carroll always used to whoop Harbaugh's ass in the NFL for the most part, because Pete Carroll is able to stay calm in these situations, and Harbaugh just gets wound up, and you can see it in their team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, this is as weird as it is to say, it's way more of a must-win for Michigan. They don't even know if Harbaugh is going to be back next year. Like, they offered him that contract that he can't, like, it's a huge contract, but it, like, stipulates he can't, like, interview for NFL jobs or something like that next year. But if you don't win this year,
no, this is the all-in year. This is like the culmination of all of his recruiting. JJ McCarthy was his like guy from the beginning. He pushed out Cade McNamara. Great move, Harbaugh, by the way, because that guy should be doing what JT Daniels is doing, holding a clipboard instead of poor JT on the sideline looking sad in the pouring rain in a bowl game. But Michigan's got a lot of stress, man. And I'm surprised. I think the line is -1 now, or -2 Michigan, according to ESPN bet. And that just seems too tempting. Like, I have Alabama winning this. I know you have Alabama winning this. I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be – and I don't think it's going to be close, kind of like how TCU-Michigan was last year, where Michigan just couldn't get out of their own way. I think it's going to be kind of a gritty, grindy game. Both schools not really breaking through, like, the early 30s in terms of points. And I think Michigan is going to make a mistake at the end. That's how I think it's going to happen. I think Michigan's going to either make a mistake at the end, or they're going to have a chance at the end to capitalize, and they won't.
And they won't.
That's how I think this game will go.
So I have a side bet for you on this game. Will J.J. McCarthy have more completions, or will his girlfriend be seen on TV more times? So, completions for McCarthy versus amount of times they show her on TV. Because last year, they showed her so much that we even saw his dad, like, grabbing her ass after a touchdown.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that. Yeah, dude. J.J. McCarthy's dad grabbing his girlfriend's butt. Oh, my goodness. Well, you got to think they're going to show his girlfriend, what, like, 4 or 5 times, maybe?
Oh, yeah. They showed her at least... This is we got to be glad that Brent Musburger isn't there.
He was
surely shuffled out after the AJ McCarron. What was his girlfriend saying?
I don't know, but I remember is Brent Musburger. He goes, "Whoa, well, that's what you get when you're the quarterback at Alabama." And another side Brent Musburger horny moment is when the Florida State, he just goes, "Well, teenagers across the nation just sent applications in the Florida State University." It's like, dude, chill.
They made him walk the plank after the AJ Catherine something was her name. They made him walk the plank after that one.
Brent Musburger just got let off. You know, like when cows, like, they can't produce milk anymore and they start to get old and withered, and then they just, like, let them play in a little, like, grass playpen for the rest of their life. That's what ESPN did with Brent Musburger. They're just like, shoot, go play and have you gotta get go. We'll let you call. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Brent Musburger. But yeah, I have Alabama winning. Comes down to JJ McCarthy. Zuch, any other final thoughts on this game from you?
No, I just, Michigan fans are being pretty cocky about it's weird with Alabama. I still think people are kind of still down them a little bit, and they pretty much everyone I've seen is picking Michigan, but I just have a feeling that it's going to be Alabama. I mean, a ton of my family's from Michigan, and they want Michigan to win, so I'd be happy for them if Michigan won. But You have to show me first. I'm not just gonna, you know, Michigan's had this opportunity time after time here recently, and they just can't seem to get it done. And if they get it done, kind of like with Clemson, Clemson was notorious for choking. They got it done, and once they did, they were really good after it. And I think Michigan could be like the same way, but you have to get, you know, I thought maybe beating Ohio State would be it, but so far they haven't done that. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going with Alabama at the end of the day.
That's fair. But I hope it's Michigan like the mental does thing win. Of, it's like the mental thing of getting over the hump and like kind of like how it plays into your psyche. Let's go on to the next game. Washington versus Texas. This is going to be the fun game. This is the game that I think people are overlooking a little bit because a lot of casuals will go, oh, Michigan, Alabama. Those are two. Look at this. I spelt Washington wrong. That sucks. Let's just hide that. Gosh, dang it. Oh, man, it isn't a show without some spelling mishaps. Come on. We've had fun over the holidays. But, yeah, Washington versus Texas. I think this one's going to be fun. This is – I'll get into it later, what I've labeled this bull in our meme matchup. But I think this is going to be a very exciting game. These are two teams. No one really – in my opinion, I don't think – do we – really know how good Washington is? Like, they are very good. Like, this is going to be a good test for both teams because Washington and Texas kind of have had similar seasons where they've beaten everyone on their roster, on their schedule for the most part. They beat the teams that they're supposed to beat by a lot for the most part. And then when they play tough teams, it's a little tougher, but they still beat them. Talent all across the board, NFL-wise, two great quarterbacks. This is going to be fun. And Washington fans, stop complaining that you have to fly all the way to New Orleans to watch a game. Shut up. Grow up. Yeah, shut up, Washington fans. I hated that on Twitter when the Washington fans are like, but poor us. Poor we Washington. Have to play to New Year's Six. Yeah.
Yeah, jeez, we have to go to New Orleans for New Year's Eve and the whole weekend. And get to, I mean, granted, I'm not the biggest fan of the city of New Orleans except for a couple streets. It's pretty sketchy down there and crime is bad and stuff like that. But you're in the playoff. You get to go to New Orleans, which I would recommend going to visit if you can. It is a really cool city. Like, a lot of big cities have problems. It's not just a New Orleans thing. A lot of big cities, they have the same problems every other big city has.
Yeah. No, the worst part for Washington, too, some fans weren't even complaining about the city. It's that they were complaining about the flight time. Like, oh, the flight from Austin to New Orleans is way quicker. That's just how it is sometimes. Like, if you were playing in the Rose Bowl and you had to play – if you were the 4-seed Washington and you had to play Michigan in the Rose Bowl, you would be way closer than Michigan is, honestly.
Are they complaining about the flight time for, like, the team? Because the teams leave, like, a week before.
No, the fans. The fans don't want to – the fans would rather have a shorter flight to L.A. in the Rose Bowl than they were in New Orleans, which is fair. But, like, don't it's such a first-world problem. College football wise.
Yeah.
Oh, woe is me. And enough of complaining about poopy Washington fans, but this game's going to be fun. I think it's Texas's defense. Their strength is their line and their big boys up front on both sides of the football. Washington, this is a classic battle of kind of differences because Texas has got the quarterback, right? But if you watch Texas all year, they've won a lot of their games being nasty and aggressive and playing hard on defense. So I'm loving the matchup of Texas's defense versus Washington's offense. Like just thinking about that gets me so excited.
No, I'm excited for this game too because this one I feel like I really don't like the last one. I feel like Alabama's gonna win. Wouldn't be completely shocked if Michigan did win, but like I said, they need.
I have no clue what's gonna happen in this game.
Yeah, I have no.
One of these teams could lose by 35 points. Like, yeah.
Yeah, there will be like a – they will show like – and they do this every year. And I don't know why it's always so funny, but both these teams – like Washington maybe not as much because they went undefeated. But Texas for sure they will – if Texas is getting beat like 38-14 in the fourth or something, they'll be like – the announcers will start talking about how Texas might not be completely back, but they're on the right track and like –
Yeah,
give Steve Sarkisian a couple more years and like get used to this because they're not going anywhere. And they're talking about Quinn Ewers coming back, and they will show like Arch Manning's parents and family in the crowd somewhere, and they'll show Michael Penix's mom and dad, and
there'll be a guaranteed shot. If there's ever a guaranteed pregame or coming back from commercial break shot, it will be the Washington Husky live mascot hanging out with Bevo. Guaranteed. Yes. Guaranteed that Husky will be forced to get right next to Bevo, and Bevo will not be happy about it. Right. We know how Bevo reacts when hanging out with certain canines, as Ugga found out a few years ago.
And thankfully, we're still about 72-ish hours away or whatever from the game, but Washington fans have refrained from murdering a relative of Bevo, a la Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, Washington fans. It is this far. Actually, in fact, I think there's enough vegetarians in the Seattle area that I think Texas should be happy that they're playing an area like Washington, you know, kind of like that Pacific Northwest kind of like farm to table, you know, sustainable living up there. So this is a perfect matchup. But football wise, like you said, this game could go anywhere. Like, yeah. I personally have Washington winning this matchup, but I could watch this game, and in the first two quarters, Texas is up 17 points, and I go, yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, I see Washington up 14 points at half and go, yeah, that also makes sense. I think for Texas, it comes down to, can Quinn Ewers match Michael Penix? And for Washington, it comes down to the Pac-12's Achilles heel has been they get beat up by toughness because all the other conferences are tougher and stronger. Washington has been applauded all year from being, hey, they got the line and the toughness of a Big Ten team. Can they actually prove that against a proven tough team in Texas?
I do know this, though. The powers that be, no matter who wins, but I think specifically if Alabama wins, they are going to be praying that Texas wins that second game. An Alabama-Texas rematch will do...
The ghost, Colt McCoy will finally be...
He will finally be redeemed. They'll have an interview with like him and like... What was the name? Ronald McClain. They'll have him on there, and like Mark Ingram will be talking about it, and all the people that were like in that game. Mac Brown will be like on ESPN to talk about it. And...
Yep. Oh my gosh. Yeah. The ghost of Colt McCoy will finally be redeemed. And you know, God help us if Texas and Alabama have to play each other, and because where's the national championship this year? Is it,
I want to say it's in Arizona this year, but let me double check on that.
We should know this national championship game, college football. All right. Oh, it's in Houston. Okay, thank goodness. Houston's not a very walkable city. I was very scared of Texas fans and Alabama fans beefing in the streets of like San Antonio or like Las Vegas, where they're like close in interaction. Luckily, Houston's just a lot of parking lots and highways, so they can be separated.
I was just there. It's the hottest place. I am from the panhandle of Florida, and Houston, Texas is the hottest place I've ever been in my life. It was like
first
week of October, and like 98, like it was so hot that like the AC in the hotel room didn't work. But we did have this year, and that's kind of why I'm hoping for an Alabama Texas rematch. Is we had that fight. Do you remember that from earlier this year? That Alabama Texas fight
where from outside the bar. Yes. That was year, or was that last year? I thought that was last year, but
it was one of those two, but. It might happen again. You know, people are going to be drinking. They're going to be in Houston. It's a big stadium. Drinks will be flowing. There will be some come up. Specifically, if Texas loses. If Texas loses, I'm like,
there will be a come up part.
Weird ways. There will be a come up part by somebody in orange.
That's awesome. Also, side note on this game. So, dude, any other comments on the actual game before I say this little side piece right here?
I don't believe so, no.
All right. What's with the SEC not selling beer in their stadiums? What the heck's with that?
I was able to get beer at the Ole Miss game.
So, the SEC championship, they didn't sell beer. And that's because some stadiums don't sell beer. Is that like an SEC like conservative like rule thing? Or is that like we fear for the safety of our patrons if we allow these people to buy beers in the stadium and get more drunk?
I think it's that, but it's also relatively – I think more schools are starting to come around to it now. the selling of beer in the stadium. So I think some of those, it's probably they just haven't done it yet, but they are working on it. Because what, BSU has been doing it for 2 or 3 years now. Not that long. Was it? I think it was after COVID that we started, right?
Yeah, it was after COVID. I think the only, honestly, it's probably one of the only good things to come out of COVID, because I think they did it out of necessity to like raise money because they were kind of like in debt after COVID. And I think it's been a great rollout. You had the Uber freaks of Boise being like, oh, there's gonna be too many drunk people at the games. It's like, shut up, dude. Like, you think like everyone went in there sober and now because we sell Michelob Ultras, everyone's gonna magically be more drunk? No, people like to enjoy drinks at a football game. You know, I mean, people are adults and let them be responsible.
Yeah, you got half the reason you go to a football game is like hang out with your buddies and drink. Like, you want to go and have a few beers and like be laughing about crap that happens on the field or laughing at like certain fans. Like, every time I go to a game, half the time I'm laughing at like a certain segment of our fan base who I'll not name where they sit, but they are there and they multiply during each game. And we spend a lot of time just laughing at like the absurdity of what they're wearing. But yeah, I do remember hearing that about the SEC championship, and I don't know why they did that. I think it has to be they just don't want it to get too out of hand, because I think you do have a certain segment of people that don't know when, like, all right, we need to, like, you need to stop drinking at a certain point. Like, you're starting to act like a fool, and you're going to get yourself or all of us kicked out. And
you combine that with the heatedness of SEC rivalry, and it's just a it's just a napalm bomb of what did you say to me, and tumbling over seats and pledges and suits getting in brawls.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, that's awesome. Let's quickly touch up on the rest of the New Year's Six matchups. The one game that it's going to be after is, as we are recording this, the Ohio State Mizzou game is tonight. So we'll do a quick prediction on this. Zuch, who do you have winning?
Ohio State.
You have Ohio State?
It's going to be Ohio State.
I also have Ohio State. Yeah, but I do think Mizzou covers. I do think Mizzou covers. I think Ohio State, this is, I've been crapping on Eli Drinkwitz all year. He's a total weirdo, but he's a proven to be a good coach for that school. I've given him a chance. I have them covering. If he does not cover, I am all out on Eli Drinkwitz again. So we can get that out of the way. All right. Peach Bowl. Ole Miss versus Penn State. This is kind of a fun game. This feels like the Super Bowl for Ole Miss, and for Penn State elitists, they view this as like the NFL Pro Bowl. Like, why are we even here? That's why
the Twitters between these two fan bases, it's a pot that's about to explode right now. We had an Ole Miss fan posted the other day, is it safe to bring my kids to Atlanta if Penn State fans are going to be there?
The worst part about that is that I can't tell if that's a joke or not. Like, there might be an Ole Miss fan going, I don't know Penn State.
Yeah, and like the Penn State fans don't, like, they don't realize, no matter, like, that is always going to be the joke. But until the end of time with Penn State is that you can't get away from that. I'm sorry, Penn State. I know that basically every one of your fans, with the exception of maybe people who are on that coaching staff, had no idea that that was going on. And maybe people that like worked at the school and stuff. You did not know Jerry Sandusky was doing what he was doing, but you have to live with it. And fan bases are always going to go there from here until the end of time.
I find it funny too that like the Penn State was it the Penn State fan on the message board who was like, I think there'll be way more Penn State fans there. Ole Miss is like way too far from Atlanta, and they're like, did you not pass ninth grade geography?
But yeah, I'm excited. Will be plenty of Ole Miss. Like you said, it's the Ole Miss, the only bowl game. I mean, national title, obviously playoff, but the only other bowl game, and it is a playoff game this year that could be better for Ole Miss, is the Sugar Bowl, because then. That one is like driving distance. Atlanta is too. It would take a little bit longer. But Sugar Bowl, that is like hog heaven. Like, the streets would be littered with like people in red.
I am glad that this matchup is not in the Sugar Bowl, because I think Atlanta is a little more spread out. If Penn State and Ole Miss fans had to interact on Bourbon Street, oh my goodness, they would not. Because Penn State fans, it's like the complete opposite. Ole Miss fans are so loose to so loose to a detriment, and Penn State fans are so wound up to a detriment that it'd just be the immovable force meeting the irresistible, yes. the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. But game wise, I have Ole Miss winning this. I think Penn State's not going to take this too seriously, and I think Drew Aller is a little overrated.
I agree. I think Ole Miss is basically everyone's playing. I mean, Judkins is playing, Jackson Dart's playing, Trey Harris is coming back next year, so he's playing. And speaking of Ole Miss, that portal class is starting to look really, really good.
Well, dude, that's some off-season content. We'll touch on the portal but after.
Ole Miss has basically everyone playing, and Penn State guys are sitting out. I can't think of that linebacker's name that is sitting out.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah, I cannot think of his name off the top of my head, but he's sitting out. And I cannot wait to see the pregame handshake between Lane Kiffin, who's like the most laid back, like everything's a joke type coach, versus James Franklin, who does his press conferences with the whistle around his neck, so you know he's like taking it serious.
That's awesome. Oh, well, let's go to the Orange Bowl. Florida State, Georgia. Do we think Florida State keeps it within three scores?
They have, what, 19 players sitting out or something like that?
Florida State does?
Let me look this up.
I thought both of them do, but now Florida State's going to have to play with their third-string quarterback. Because that's where I think the big difference in this game is that Carson Beck is not going to sit out.
Oh, 24 players, sorry, not 19.
From Florida State are sitting out? Yeah, is this the first time in history where the opposing team is sitting out more players than Georgia in a non-playoff bowl game? Because usually Georgia's the team that has a lot of players sitting out.
Everyone's sitting out. And I even think they have, like, Brock Bowers sitting and travel with the team and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is setting up to be, like, a burning of Georgia, but reverse. Like, when Sherman rode through Georgia and burned it all down in the war, this is what Kim Jong-Kirby is going to do to Florida State, I have the feeling.
Kirby is going to prove, because especially – for some reason, I wish this game would have been after the playoff, because if Texas or Washington would have got murdered, you already know Kirby Smart would go, I'm going to hang – Kirby Smart wants to hang 70 on Florida State just to give a double middle finger to the playoff committee. And just use this fuel for next year. But I think the difference in this game is Carson Beck, as much as I joke about him, is a much better quarterback than whoever FSU is going to throw out.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, 24 people are sitting out for FSU. We saw what the Louisville just happened to do against USC, and that FSU team struggled with Louisville.
Right.
So, I think if you're FSU, as long as you can keep it within a couple scores, keep it respectable, because then you can play the card, well, we had a lot of people sitting out, and if we would have played our starters, it would have been different. Yes, just keep it close.
Exactly. I agree.
All right. And let's go to the next New Year's Six game, the Fiesta Bowl. This is, I think this Oregon Liberty, I think this could get out of hand very fast, Zuch. I think this could get out of hand very, very fast.
This is either going to be a complete and total trouncing, like 56 to 10 or something like that, or this is going to replace that, the BSU Oklahoma BSU. Wow. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't think Liberty's going to win, but I think it would have the same level of magnitude if did win, because Liberty, nobody is picking them.
No one is. And I also think Oregon's going to kill him. I have him in my bowl pick'em as the largest margin of victory. So, but the thing that Liberty could do that is the win-win for me, because I would hate for Liberty fans, because I think Liberty University, I don't even, because they get an unfair advantage, because it essentially is like one guy's like passion project. He just like created the university. So they have like unlimited money that other even like private schools with like boards don't have to like deal with, and they can just like funnel money. But when Liberty, if they were to pull this upset of the century off, they would solidify that G5 spot for at least the next decade in the playoff.
Yeah.
That's the one reactory thing that could happen from that. Reactory, is that even a word? Reaction that could happen if Liberty wins. But I think Oregon's going to wipe them. Also, we've been talking about stuff being shown pregame. DeAnthony Thomas touchdown against K-State will be shown, guaranteed.
Yep, they'll show that, and then they'll show like how Liberty got to where they are, and they'll show like Hugh Freeze like holding up some bull trophy, like they'll show like him holding up some bull trophy, and whoever else is coached there, and how like their steps from like wherever they started to how they got here now, and they'll ask what's his name, Jamie Caldwell.
Chadwell.
They'll ask him like what he told his team, and he's gonna be like, "I just told him to stay loose and yeah. go out there and have fun." He'll say something like,
"We will know how Liberty is because you know Liberty, like their starters are all fine. They're gonna have like some walk on run out, and you could just tell he's so stiff. Like there's not gonna be a more nervous kickoff squad in the nation than Liberty is against Oregon." Oh my goodness! Last thing I want to say about this game is that how many people do you think are actually going to be in that stadium? Like, do you think the upper deck's going to be full? Because with the Tulane, USC last year was not full. They did not sell out the Cotton Bowl. And I think this game's two smaller fan bases. Yeah. And USC's a bigger fan base than Oregon. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And I also think Dallas is in a more – yeah, is – huh. That's a question for another time. Is Oregon a bigger fan base than USC? That's a question for another time. But yeah, that's my only question. I don't think they're going to sell out the stadium. I think they're going to like show, because it's also the early game too, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is, because it's the same day as the playoff games. It's not – because we have games tomorrow. We don't have any on Sunday because the NFL is on Sunday.
Yeah.
But Monday we do – I don't think there's any Monday night football.
There's not.
Almost guarantee. Yeah, there's not.
Yeah, that would be that would be rating suicide if for Monday night football. To put Monday Night Football. Although I would, because then I would get to see who is a casual and who loves football. Because if you love football, you watch college football playoff. If you're a casual and an elitist who go, the product's inferior. Why is the product inferior? Shut up, dude. They're 18 and 19-year-olds. That's why. Like, Liberty University. Do you think we're watching Liberty University because they are the masters of the game of football and this is what the product God envisioned it? No. It's going to be crappy and loose and athletic and big plays are going to be made.
Exactly.
I feel like I go on this rant every three episodes about NFL elitists. But, yeah, I think we covered all the New Year's Six matchups. Let's get to the meme matchup of the week. My meme matchup of the week is Washington versus Texas because it is the Sark Bowl. Sark. Is that yours as well?
It is. It couldn't be anything else.
Sark gets to – did you pull up – was it you who said Sark at Washington, like, never won less than six games but never won more than eight games or something like that?
Yeah, he went, like, he was 7-6 or 8-5.
He was, like
every
perma
year.
He was, like, perma 7-5, and then he got the USC job. But yeah, just watching Sark, because you already know Sark, they're going to show another thing guaranteed they'll show is the picture of the old Sark in like the old Washington, like Adidas gear on the sideline, and then him now. That's what they will show. So excited for the Sark Bowl, excited to see Sark face his old team. I know he's thinking about it as much as he say he won't. He isn't thinking about it. He's thinking about it.
He's thinking about it.
He is thinking about it. But let's go to High-Low Buffalo, the last segment of the show. And we're doing High-Low Buffalo individual performances. So which individuals do we think are going to perform well, not well, and could perform well, could make a couple big plays, somewhere in the middle. But Zuch, I'm going to throw it to you for the high. Who do you have?
My high, Trey Harris against Penn State. I think he, for a couple reasons. First off, I think they faced Michael Harrison, Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, but this is going to be probably the second best receiver Penn State has faced all year. But the difference is Ole Miss has other weapons to go around the field that can, you know, you probably aren't going to be able to double Trey Harris the whole time. And I think he has a lot to prove because he just got an NIL deal. And they're bringing in, what's his face from South Carolina, Juice.
Oh, yeah. Is Juice Robinson, that's a wrestler. That's not a.
The guy from South Carolina, Juice, I cannot think of his last name right now. It's been a long week, a lot of celebrations and working. So, anyways, end of the day, it's going to be Trey Harris. I think he's going to have a great game. I think generally that whole Ole Miss offense is going to have a pretty good game. Hope those guys specifically Jackson Dart and Quinshon Juggins come back. They haven't said if they are or not, but that's my high.
Fair enough. My high is going to be Rome Odunze. I've been watching him. I've been on him all year. I think he's the best receiver in the country. Marvin Harrison fans, I'm sorry. I think it's a 1A, 1B. I don't think it's a 1 and 2. And I think he's going to ball out because if there was a weakness to this Texas team, it would be the secondary, in my opinion. I think Alabama, you saw in the Alabama game, they had a couple big plays. Every team's been able to get a couple big plays. I think Texas relies on their defensive line, and they rely on their linebackers for the strength of their defense to stuff the run. And I don't think they've seen an attack Texas has this year of receivers that can do what Rome Odunze can do, what James Polk can do, what the other McMillan can do. So I think Rome Odunze is going to go off. And I think it's going to be his coming out party to a national audience who might not have watched a lot of Washington games this year too.
Yeah, that dude is. I mean, I saw him play live. I went to the first game this season, that BSU-Washington game, and he by no means was the Boise State secondary good this year, but there's a big difference between not being like they're okay. They're not, there's worse secondaries, not many, but there are some worse ones and there's really good secondaries. But that dude, you can watch some guys on the field and like immediately almost know, like, I don't know how from watching up high, we are going to stop that guy. And he was like that. It was like, there was nobody we could, no defense, anything we could do to put a stop to that guy. And I know Texas has better corners and safeties and stuff, but he's like you said, he's up there with Marvin Harrison Jr. He's virtually like, you're not gonna stop him. There's not.
So my low is actually you can tell me if it's a cheap shot, but it's the Michigan offensive line and Drew Aller. I have them as a half and half. I think the Michigan offensive line, they're good. They're very good. It's kind of like the same thing with you. I gotta see it to believe it. And for the last 2 years in a row in the playoff, they've been punked by Georgia. And last year, they kind of got punked a little bit by the TCU up front. Not going to lie. Like, they didn't move the ball. I mean, they got a ton of points, but, like, you'd think they were just going to be winning the toughness battle, and I don't think they were. So I have Michigan offensive line, and then I have Drew Aller, 8-yard Drew, as I call him, because he doesn't throw the ball farther than 8 yards. So, yeah. And I also think – like I touched on before, Ole Miss, I feel like it's just way more fired up to play this game. So Drew Aller, Michigan State, on my lows.
Hey, my low, and I really hate to do this to him, as you just did him dirty. It's Drew Aller. I think
A double low?
He's going to have, like, the – like hope of the fans of like, oh, he got the full practices in and like that's really gonna help him, like it's all this stuff. And I just don't, he just seems to me to be slow to see like anything down the field that's not like slant or like that like cut route by the tight end or whatever you want to call it. I just think he's gonna see different types of defenses than he has in the Big Ten. I mean, you saw it like when he played the two, I guess Iowa, I don't know if Penn State played Iowa this year, but Michigan and Ohio State are far and away the superior teams in the Big Ten, and Penn State didn't get a 20 points in either game, I don't believe.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, Ole Miss's defense probably isn't as good as those two, but it's probably better than Indiana and teams like that, so...
No, it'll be interesting watching Drew Aller. I think he has a lot of growing up to do, not in terms of his character, but in terms of just like maturing on the field. Because at times it's kind of like, what are you doing, dude? Like, it's like insanity for Penn State fans. I almost feel bad, which is like impossible for me to feel bad for Penn State fans. But it's like just constant like, oh, like curl over the middle, underthrown at his feet, like just every single time. But my Buffalo is another unit, and I've talked about them before on this show. This episode, at least, too. The Texas defensive line. They have some freaks. I don't know their names. I don't know his name, but he's an NFL prospect. And they have some freaks on their defensive line. And they can continue the tradition of making Pac-12 offensive lines look like JV teams. And if they can do that, Washington doesn't have a chance. They won't go for it.
That Washington offensive line at certain times down the stretch didn't look like all that menacing. Like there's people getting, and I think that's kind of why Michael Penix Jr.'s stats kind of went down a little bit, is because he wasn't getting, you know, the first five weeks of the season, he had all day to throw, and towards the end, he didn't have as much time to throw. Not that he was bad. He was great all year long, but I think Texas probably has a better defensive line than Arizona, Arizona State, Cal, UCLA, whoever it might be, and definitely USC. USC doesn't have anyone. They have that one, the Bear from Georgia, but even he didn't do all that. I forgot he was there until last night, and then Louisville went to hand the ball off, and immediately that guy was there and just swung him down, and they're like, the announcer was like, yep, the Bear right there.
Gus Johnson, of course it was Gus Johnson, the Bear right there. Oh, man. But what's your Buffalo?
My Buffalo, and it's going to be kind of a weird one because I feel like this whole year he's been kind of surprising people. Like, after certain games, like, it's done, it's over, is Nick Saban.
Whoa, Nick Saban, a coaching Buffalo. Okay.
Nick Saban paired with, oh, my God. Not Blake Barnett, the Alabama quarterback. Why can I not think of his name right now?
Jalen Milroe.
Jalen Milroe.
Did you just compare? No, did you just call Jalen Milroe Blake Barnett?
He is way better than Blake Barnett. But I still think people are looking at him far and away. Like, if you went up to anyone on the street who knew a decent amount about college football, right? Like, who the good teams are, like what programs are struggling, yada, yada. Most of them would probably, if they had to pick the four quarterbacks, would say Penix, Ewers, and J.J. McCarthy might switch around a little bit, but they're going to pick Jalen Milroe last. And I'm going to go on record and say that out of those four quarterbacks, he, if a quarterback wins it, he is going to be the quarterback that wins the title game MVP.
Wow. Okay.
That's who I'm going with. I think, and I don't think those other guys are bad.
So you think if, like, hypothetically, Washington won the championship, you think it would go to, like, Rome Odunze or, like, a defensive player?
If Washington, I guess it's kind of me saying I think Alabama's going to end up winning the title, but.
Fair enough.
I mean, if Washington won it and Michael Penix has 396 yards passing, yeah, he's probably going to win it. I think Michigan, there's a strong chance that, like, Blake Corum wins it. Just because he'll probably have to run the ball a lot. But I just think people still undervalue Jalen Milroe a ton. And, I mean, I got it at the beginning of the season, but the dude's gotten better and better. And, like, he has, you know, a lot can be said for somebody who has confidence in themselves, I think. And I think at the beginning of the season, he probably didn't have that, probably really didn't have it after that UCF or USF game. But now – he's won an SEC title. He's in the playoff. He beat Georgia. He made that, despite what people want to say about the Auburn game, he made that throw at the end of that game. That stuff, in my opinion, builds your confidence up. Like that, I mean, if I sat you down and said, Diego, you're going to be the quarterback next year at Alabama. You're going to get benched in the first couple of games of the season. But after that, you're not going to lose again for the rest of the regular season, at least. You're going to throw a game-winning touchdown on 4th-and-30 against Auburn. You're going to beat Georgia. You're going to be starting in the playoff against Michigan. You'd be like, you would think in your head, well damn, I must have gotten pretty good after getting benched in the second or third game of the season, whatever it was. I think it was the third game. But I just think he's going to end up being the real deal. He might not, you know, throw for 510 yards, but – I think he's going to have some rushing yards, and I think he's going to have a couple passing touchdowns, and he is at least – he is my pick for the MVP in the Rose Bowl, Jalen Miller.
Well, that's excellent. Well, that's an excellent monologue to end this episode, just a Jalen Milroe monologue. And I kind of agree with you there.
Who hates Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
The guy was like, what did you think when Bill O'Brien said you need to switch positions? And Jalen Miller's like, what would you think if someone told you you sucked at your job?
Oh my God.
Like, I probably wouldn't like it. And he's like, yeah.
Oh my gosh, Bill O'Brien, Billy
As
OB,
the
man.
Bama fans call him now, Butt Chin Bill. Butt Chin Bill.
Oh, well, Butt Chin Bill. Well, Butt Chin Bill's having a tough time in New England right now. But what? Oh, that was a fun episode, and we will be recording next week to give a big national championship preview. Full. We'll actually, for the first time in a couple weeks, have a lot of time to dive in this game and all the different intricacies and storylines. Zuge, anything else to end this show?
I don't think so. Everyone have a good New Year. Stay safe. Just do, if you're going to be out drinking, do the smart thing and call an Uber or call a buddy or something like that. Or just do what I've always done. And if you're going to go out drinking at someone's house or something, stay there. You and your friends go rent a hotel room and all you guys stay there or something like that. Just don't get out and
That's
drive
right.
because
That's right.
you don't want a
That's right.
DUI and you don't want to kill yourself or someone else.
That is true. We don't want any Bobby Petrinos out there. Yeah. We'll see you all next week. Thanks. See, that's, oh my gosh. That's how we're gonna end this. Oh my gosh, we'll see you.